So just as a preview, we're going to call the meeting to order, and then we're going to go into closed session, which is on a different Zoom. So I apologize if you joined us now and we're going into closed session. But I will call the meeting to order and do a roll call. Adrian Barnes. Sorry, did you say here?
Sorry, I was struggling to unmute. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Mike Barr.
Here.
Steve Ford. Here. Elise Darwish here. Jonathan Dharmapalin.
Yeah.
Wei-Ling Huber. Carol Eisen. Melissa Mitrovich.
Here.
Josefina Alvarado Mena.
Here.
Dr. Jason Ryman.
Here.
Dwayne Walton. Diane Woods. Oh, she can't be here. And Leon Jones.
For the last time, here.
Aw.
You can still, if we're still in quarantine, you can Zoom in from Dallas.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we have a quorum. I am now going to move us into closed session. So apologize everyone who logged in and didn't have know that on the agenda, we are going into closed session. When we come back, we'll take roll call again, we'll establish a quorum, and then we'll begin the rest of the meeting. So Wei-Ling, I see that you're here. So we are trying to come out of open session at 6:45. These are all estimated times. We will try and do that. How about we won't start any earlier than 6:45, but there is a chance that we may have to go late longer.
We'll only be able to sort of send a chat to this group to let them know if it's going to be running late. Or can she?
Yeah, Romy will do that.
Okay.
Okay. So Romy, I'll text you as we go, if it seems like to give an estimate.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So everyone, you should have this closed session link.
Where would we have the closed session link?
I sent an email with both the links. It is the same one as last time. So Jason, is that you who needs it? Jason, I think that you were the one.
No, I have the link. It's in that email that you sent out.
Okay. Anyone else need it?
Yes. For some reason, I don't have it. I got it from my wife. johnkieschel@gmail.com.
It's for the board.
Okay.
The closed session is for the board.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's fine.
All right. Do we have a quorum back? Yep. Okay, so report out from closed session. I have a prepared statement. In light of the unprecedented budget uncertainty caused by the COVID situation, we are recommending the administration wait until the budget is approved to send out offer letters. We expect our next meeting to be June 11th in order to approve that budget. Second roll call. Adrian?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Steve?
Here.
Elise? Here, Jonathan. Okay, Wei-Ling. Melissa.
You're muted, Melissa. Melissa's here.
Melissa's here.
She's above you on my screen.
Oh, sorry, here, yes.
Josefina.
Here.
Jason.
Here.
Dwayne.
Here.
Leon.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. We've established a quorum. I want to take one or two moments to talk about the meeting norms. So we switched at the last meeting to have public comment after or as part of each agenda item. So I'm going to ask first for a little bit of grace while I get used to that norm. And I'm always happy for corrections on doing this right. But we really want to, there was an input from the community, and we really want to honor that, those suggestions. Please sign up in the chat if you would like to comment on public comment. We'll be noting the chat comments. I personally can't read the chat comments and facilitate, but we'll be noting the chat comments, but I won't be able to respond to them. If you change your name to I support COSATS, that's great. Can you also add your name so we know if who's speaking? So one of the, I got the lovely ability to attend the senior recital, right, voice, vocal music recital right before here. And I often get, sometimes I get asked, why I participate on the OSA board. And it is because of the amazing opportunities that we are giving students in this school. So one of the things I'm going to ask you as you frame your comments is to assume positive intent. We all want this school, almost half of our board are parents. We all want this school to succeed. And we want this to be the great place it is for kids and to continue. And I also need to note that the meeting is being recorded. So that's it from the meeting norms. Public comment on non-agenda items. Okay, Jonathan Mayer.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for hearing me speak here. My name is Jonathan Mayer. My daughter, Hannah, and my wife, Corinne, who is president of instrumental music there. So I'll try to keep it short. So I'm Hannah's dad. Hannah's been there 7 years, and she's had a great experience. She's just graduating. And she's instrumental music. Just want to thank instrumental music department was amazing. Her English and history teachers were unbelievable. So great 7 years. So I just want to speak as somebody who's, I'm a teacher and I've been a principal in Oakland Unified School District at Claremont Middle School for the last 6 years and Chabot before that. So I've been a principal for 15 years. And I'll try to make three kind of quick points here. I mean, I know how stressful it is for all the teachers, how they've been working during this remote learning time. It's just been pretty crazy. Just want to thank the teachers. I know how hard this is and how challenging it is. So my 3 points are one, I heard that you said June 11th is when you're going to try to make a decision, which I appreciate that. Just as somebody who's been involved with Oakland in terms of how do we retain teachers and giving teachers pink slips and knowledge, I know there's so many unknowns with ADA and what's going on, but seeing that your guesstimate was like 10%, cut in funding and now it's more like 7.9%. I would just encourage you, like, as soon as possible or yesterday, to find a way to give offer letters to at least 90% of the teachers type of thing, because you know, that's where the costs are, is in teachers. And while we don't know what the real budget is and you're waiting, the WASC report said, you know, you want to retain teachers, right? And I know in Oakland we one time made the mistake around March 15th of giving like 1,000 of our 2,000 teachers notice because we were in a panic. And, you know, we talked to the superintendent, had a little study that never had to happen. So I do think the sooner you can let as many teachers possible know, like you probably aren't taking any risk by letting 90% know right now they have an offer, and then you're just waiting on the final 10% for June 11th. So that's point one, I'll finish up. Point two was just that we keep some of the key people in the community. I know that three people in particular, Ms. Jones, Ms. T, and Mr. Seacrease, the three of them have been there forever. So just to find a way, and I know we don't know what's gonna go on August 10th when we come back to school, but whether they're gonna help students who maybe need a little small group learning or their IEPs, but there's gotta be a way if they're not gonna, we're not on campus on August 10th to keep at least the three of them, and other people have been just so fundamental to the kids' experiences and community, and I'll yield any time that was left.
Thank you. Jeremy Taylor.
Hi. I had two things. So I serve on another board, and so I just kind of share this in the spirit of best practices, and I don't know if this is something that occurred to you, and I know I hear you talking about best intent, and so I believe that you have the best intent, and you don't want a negative impression to be wrongly felt by the room. So when we have closed sessions on my board, we either do them at the end or we do them at the beginning with a designated end time so that we start the open session at a designated time so people know when to show up. We're always hoping to get people come to our board meetings because we want their input, and that's how we respect their time. Everybody in here has been in here for at least 50 minutes waiting from the 6:45 posted start time until the 7:35 actual start time. And you know, I'm sure lots of important stuff needed to get done, but just understand from the other perspective that you're asking people to, they have no idea when to show up. And so they just kind of have to give an extra hour of their time kind of hanging around waiting. And so I'd ask you to consider if there's like a different way for you to structure how you do closed sessions or how you like give a firm start time so people know when a meeting is gonna start. And then separately, since you just mentioned the June 11th, I don't know if you, I think you're, you know this, but you know, just for other people in the room, there's a committee of teachers forming to meet prior to June 11th to start aggressively planning and envisioning what remote learning could look like in the fall, which means that we are doing work for the 20 to 21 school year without jobs for the 20 to 21 school year. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that as of June 11th, we will have those jobs. But it, again, like perception wise and just like, I don't know, it's not a great look for people to be essentially working for free if they don't really know if what they're working for, if they're going to have a job to implement the work that they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Justin Ouellette. I hope I said that right.
That's okay. So sorry about the feedback. Just give us 1 second here. Okay. Big compound. 5 people live on this compound, hence why I'm outside. So anyways, just to kind of chime in on this subject, I feel like I would like to approach this question about how funding has been an issue since I've actually been at OSA. So I'm a teacher going on the finishing my 6th year. So I know that we've had this topic and subject about funding, and I know we have a fundraising team, but I feel like one of the most important things that we've always need, and I know that there are plenty of examples of boards out in the world that work for many organizations that are fundraising boards. So what I'm asking is when and if we can see an evolution of the board to becoming a fundraising board in addition to the funding team that we have, because we have known about these problems for quite a while. And that's the biggest question I have. When and if can we see this?
Thank you. I think that was more about the board composition than necessarily the financial part. But we do have a financial update, a budget update, when you will be able to comment also specifically on the budget. Regina?
Hi. So a lot of people here know me because I'm their teacher or their kids' teacher. But I'm Regina Politano. I'm the 10th grade English teacher at OSA. I'm here to speak on behalf of my students because I know how much the teacher turnover has affected them. I saw it with my own eyes. Their 9th grade English teacher left in the middle of the year last year, and that was really, really hard for them. And when we had some teachers leave in the middle of this year, I also saw the effect, even though I didn't leave, and some of, like, it wasn't, like, directly impacting them the way it did last year. It just causes a sense of destabilization, and their mental health is already so fragile, especially during a pandemic. And we had a suicide this year at OSA, and I've had so many students who have been in inpatient hospitalization this year. And I think we need to do everything we can to support our students, which means creating as stable of an environment as we can in their school, which means keeping every staff member, because these are all, like, adults that support them in their lives.
Thank you. Tymon?
I didn't know I was muted. Hi, I'm Ty. I'm a 10th grade vocalist. You've all seen me before. I'm here again to support the teachers and staff asking for better job security and wages. And I've kind of, like, rewritten this public comment, like, 3 times just because I can't really find a way to say something that I haven't said before, and also not to sound angry because I'm not angry. I was reminded the other day that, yeah, like, the board makes a lot of really important decisions about the school, but we don't really have a fundraising board, like Ms. Ulette said. And when those decisions are about things like laying off staff and arts faculty, I just feel a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that we've had this conversation so many times, and it doesn't feel like it's improving, even though I know in some ways it is. I know we have no money. I'm aware of that because we're in a fucking pandemic and we haven't had money since I've been here. But I'm also aware that, like, layoffs and cuts to the arts aren't the solution, especially in a pandemic when it's never been harder for people like custodial staff and security guards and teachers and artists to get work. But I don't even blame, like, the board, because I know that fundraising is really hard. I couldn't do it. But I know that there are people, again, on this poll probably who could, and in our community who could. Yeah, we've just never, like, really been asked for help. And I know we have no money, but we also want to help. And we know that that everyone on the board are such good people. We know that you have good intent, like Miss, like Elise said. I was about to call you Miss Darwood. Said, and that we all have, like, a shared goal and stuff like that. But I think we all just really need to be working together towards that shared goal. And I don't think that laying off vulnerable and valuable people is the answer. And just thank you, everyone, for being here, and for the board for volunteering your time, and also to the teachers and the staff and for everything. But I want everybody to return and feel safe in this community and feel protected in this community. And I don't have any decision-making power. All I can do is, like, speak into this void of a Zoom call, but I hope that we're just all able to, like, actually create actions that move us forward together and don't require, you know, losing valuable, important members of our community who I care about, like, deeply. So, yes.
Thank you. Carol? Ruart?
Ruart.
Ruart.
Hello. Hi, I'm a parent of a vocal music 7th grader. Thank you to all the teachers and staff for adapting to remote learning so quickly and carrying it through to the end. It was really hard, but there was a lot accomplished this year no matter what. I wanted to say, in terms of this meeting, this is to the finances, to do what OSA is meant to do, OSA needs more money. Teachers are the bedrock of the education, both academic and arts. We need to pay them first. But the bottom line is we need more money to do what we want to do. So we need to fundraise in a much bigger way, conceptually and actively. What can we, the parents, do? Thanks.
Thank you. Simon B.R.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute myself.
That's okay.
I wrote a little something. Okay. OSA Board, you are in charge of so many decisions for our school. And personally, as a student, I cannot go ahead with the proposed plan for operational and art staff to be cut off. Hopefully you share my same views. Everyone is trying to do their best right now, but an alternative plan could be fundraising. I know that you want to be careful sometimes, but it is the best option. I attended a town hall for remote learning, and one of the parents were saying that they wanted to give during this time because they were able to work from home and wanted to do something and provide for the salaries of our teachers, our facilities, and et cetera. I feel that if there has not been a push for fundraising, and we've been asking since last year. This fundraising question also turns my attention to our new ED, Lisa. Welcome, Lisa. I'm sorry I did not get to meet you at the meet and greet. I'm sure you are wonderful. But I asked the board, why is there such a proposed wage gap between the teachers and the ED? I would like to ask three demands of the board, and mostly a recap of what I've said. One, a restructure of the board, including community members, students, staff, parents, and most importantly, those with a strong fundraising background be put on the board. Two, that the board begins to lay out larger scale fundraising plans, as I've said before. And three, that the people, teachers, and operational staff have their jobs kept stable. Most of these are POC. If they have their jobs taken away, then it might be harder for them to get a new job. I want to remind you that George Floyd was pursuing a new job when he was murdered. I would never want that to happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken McCall.
Yeah, I considered last year to be a situation of financial disaster when the OSA school, when the OUSD was in strike and the OSA teachers went to decide to unionize. Unfortunately, the APT board didn't think so, and it doesn't seem that the board thought so. What I'd like to know is, now given the situation that we're facing now, do you consider us to be in a financial disaster? And furthermore, in the 2016-2017 strategic directive from Jonathan Faustine, there was supposed to be a fiscal crisis and management assistance team that even back then was going to address this, because they knew that Jerry Brown wasn't going to be involved anymore, that fundraising was going to be a major situation. And my understanding, even from hiring the executive director, was that we wanted to hire an executive director that could do fundraising. So where does the board consider us to be now as far as a financial situation, and how do you plan on addressing it?
Thank you. Karen Morfin.
Hi, everyone. I got a couple of comments and I wrote it down just to be specific. Well, the first one is, you got PPP funding. I have two comments on that. One, it's $300,000 that can be completely forgiven if you play it right and if you have some basic accounting background. One of them, and foremost, is that these funds are used for payroll. You have $300,000 right now that you can use exclusively for payroll. The fact that you're holding your letters, having this money right and available, that it's free money for you that we wouldn't have otherwise, unless COVID had happened, it's a shame. It's shameful from the board. You should be thinking ahead and knowing that using this money for payroll will allow these funds to be forgiven 100%. So I would highly encourage to send those letters out, because Second rule for this funding to be forgiven is to make sure you have the same percentage of teachers available from the minute that it was funded to us until it's given to be forgiven. That means that for every teacher we lose, or we may lose, it's a higher percentage that these funds will not be forgiven, because you will have broken the rules of the PPP funding. So not only are our teachers are important right now to be able to be successful next year, but also retention of these teachers is essential for this PPP funding to be forgiven. And I don't think you guys are really playing this through. If we lose one teacher and we're not able to recoup that teacher quickly, those $300,000 are gone. So please plan this accordingly. Second, that's as far as the PPP fundraising. I have said this times and times and times again. Are we going through the grants as we're supposed to be going through them? Apply for every single grant that's available for different areas in your school, special education, mental health, and the arts, not just the arts. There are so many other grants that are being out there that we're not, that I don't see anything in your 990s. Lastly, I want to talk about the how can we use this time to do active fundraising. I have attended at least 5 concerts for Bay Area musicians, in which I was more than happy to share my money with them for being active online, that have live performances, to feed the music performers that are not able to perform at this time. Please consider that. We're way behind. I can't believe we're the heart of Oakland in the most well-recognized music school in the Bay Area, and we haven't had a single concert. That's where we're not using our resources adequately. I'm sure our students would be more than willing to perform. That's what our students crave for, and we're not even thinking about how we can provide these areas for them and help our school. And lastly, I want to say that the gap that we have in wages in your chart it says a lot about what we say. So if we want to say, if we want to make sure that we have good funding next year and that we use all of the money that's available right now, let's go ahead and send those letters out. If you need any PPP information, let me know. I'll be more than happy to share that with you. But I'm pretty sure you guys are a well-educated board, and you know the rules, and what you're doing, it's putting that money at risk. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad Erickson. Brad, I think you're on mute. No, you're not.
All right. Sorry about that. Right. So yesterday, many of us received an email from members of our community reporting that at Tuesday's Finance Committee meeting, a proposal had been made to lay off a number of staff. Layoffs always cause concern, but this news was particularly distressing because the issue had been discussed at a Finance Committee meeting that appeared to be scheduled at the last minute. The school did not send out its customary email to notify the community of the agenda and how they could participate, and no supporting documents were posted on the website. So these actions give the appearance of secrecy and general lack of transparency on the part of the OSA board and executive staff. And even if it was technically compliant with the Brown Act, it undermines trust. It provokes high levels of anxiety among teachers, staff, and OSA families and students. So we parents, teachers, students, we understand we're in a time of crisis and risk, that we all need to be open to change, that we must explore options, that be adaptable, be nimble as the ground crumbles under our feet. And the decision to go completely online, for example, is probably the right call. But again, we can't emphasize enough that shared governance, open deliberation, opportunities for substantive input, and transparency will produce buy-in. while exclusion and secrecy will produce resistance. We all want what is best for our students and our broader community. We understand you have a tough job that just got tougher. Let us help. Assuming good intentions goes both ways. Thank you.
Thank you. Paulina Gonzalez.
Thank you. So along those lines, we ask you, the board and the leadership, to please be upfront. Share the options you're considering and projections under different contingencies, fundraising plans, et cetera, and share them well ahead of the decisions you're making to all the OSA stakeholders. If board members support a specific proposed budget, be open about it. Tell your story. Explain how you explored various options. Maybe the community will support you if you show your work rather than conceal your process from us. It was apparent from the legal presentation to the board that OSA has been routinely out of compliance with the Brown Act in several respects, especially with regard to committees, closed sessions, and agenda packets, and needs to work vigorously to comply with the letter and the spirit of public transparency and accountability. You've instructed us to assume good intentions, but we can only observe actions. Secrecy and top-down governance suggest the opposite. Without openness, there is no hope of a better relationship with the parent or teacher community. We roundly reject the proposal to lay off staff until we are satisfied that all other possibilities have been exhaustively explored. Losing income and losing health insurance in particular can be a death sentence during a pandemic that comes on top of a housing crisis and record economic and racial inequality. What are all the other expense cuts that can be considered? Or can this issue be solved on the income side? What are the board and administration doing to increase revenue? What grants have we applied for? What CARES Act relief funds are available? What fundraising campaigns are we engaged in? If you can demonstrate to the community that as much or more effort is being put into increasing our income as cutting our expenses, that will inspire confidence and cooperation. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy Thomas.
Hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to make myself known once again. I know you guys are probably tired of my face now, but I also wanted to introduce myself to the new ED. For those who have not been there, my name is Tracy Thomas. Again, I am an alum member of the class of 2012 theater emphasis. Sorry for the beeps. I, again, wanted to reiterate that there is a presence of hundreds of alumni students from 2002 to now from OSA who have had different experiences, positive, negative, who are very much so aware of the problems that have been arising at the school since we've been there. I think I've lost my ability to, after I communicate, share my email to you, as I am one of the board members for our alum committee, which is still fairly new, growing and continuing to develop. I will share my email address down below out of confidence that at least a member of the board committee will be able to contact me or make themselves known. As the Alumni Association continues to grow and develop, we want to make ourselves known that we are an asset. There are members that are part of the alum group who are assets through their network experiences, through their colleges, through their current careers. Me, for an example, I am a employee over at a radio station in San Francisco. My connections and the people I've known over the last 3 years are very vital in fundraising, in collecting networking opportunities. So please use me as a possible alliance. And I hope that over time, the board would consider, once again, I hope you consider an alum position on the OSA board. I think that we are a vital part of the development and improvement of OSA as we have been a part of its growth, its success. And so not having us there, I believe, is also a part of the determinant. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy. Leon Jones.
Thank you, everybody. I see we have 160 participants. It's good to see all your faces and hear your voices. I came to talk on public comment because there was an issue that happened. May 9th, around 10 o'clock p.m., I called Ms. Kaba Menzies on the cell phone after I saw a slew of posts regarding the Ahmaud Arbery situation. And may I say, being an African-American man in this country who is going to a conservative state, I am scared. And that the fact that I had Ms. Menzies to call at 10 o'clock at night when she could have been asleep, getting her good rest, to call and express what I was feeling is something that I can't that we can't compare and you don't hear at a lot of schools. So I really do implore the board to really try to keep our teachers, because teacher retention is really, it's really bad. And to add on to that, on a fundraising note, one of the big things that I've had conversations around fundraising is that, honestly, we could be fundraising as of right now. You see these artists, Guapale, Erykah Badu, that are hosting these virtual concerts for just a couple of dollars. Today at the senior recital, Ms. Darwish, I saw you there, Ms. Plett opened up with asking people to donate. But the other thing about that I must add is that we need people on PR. We need people to go out there and speak about our community. We can't keep sucking dry the parents and the students through the annual fund. We have Pandora right down the street, right down the street from us. We need to reach out and go out and pull those funds, because this is an amazing school. Every last person that has spoken today loves this place and would be totally down, I know that for a fact, to tell any executive, any CEO, any person with the top dollar to bring their money to OSA. So I just really encourage, especially with, you know, the class of 2020, as we're graduating and it's more classes to go, that we really implore that money gets poured into this school and to give to this community, even the people within it. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Martha Raiden? You're probably on mute. Okay, I will come back to you, Martha. Dolores Thompson?
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Dolores Thompson.
Sorry.
And I just want to say something on the back end of what Leon said. Our school is a huge resource of talent there. And as a person who's, I've been in entertainment 25 years, I've worked in Los Angeles, I've worked in artist management, I've worked with everybody from Quincy Jones to Stevie Wonder. And the amount of talent that we have at this school, there should be a way that we're able to parlay that into partnerships. And people, if one thing people love is supporting youth, so it's not hard to do. One of the things that bother me is we've been acting in a reactive state ever since I've been at OSA. I started in 2014. Everything is reactive. I've seen very little proactivism. And reactive means you have to take what is there and you're scrambling always. But if we proactively took what, and because I'm an artist, if we proactively took our product, which is those kids, and we promoted them, we don't have to have a PR person on salary, but just hire them every now and again to promote the school, to Hollywood, to Paramount Pictures, to Sony Music. I guarantee you the money would pour in, because they want talent just as bad as we've got talent. They want it. So it's not hard to do. And remember, when it comes to OSA, Oakland School for the Arts, it's about artists. And you have to have teachers that know how to teach artists. My first time coming to OSA, I saw a picture in the hallway of the dancers. And I said to Ms. Jones, oh, you guys have the Alvin Ailey dancers here? Those are Reginald Savage dancers. But they look like Alvin Ailey. How easy would that be for me to sell? Very easy. You go in the music department, you hear Minnie Riperton, you hear Whitney Houston, you hear these voices that are reminiscent of the pros. How easy is that to sell? We need to start being proactive and taking what we have and building on that and building relationships that can even take our students to another level. We should be able to have agents come to our school. They should be clamoring because the amount of talent that we have everything they need. So I think that we need to look at how we operate and start adding in different entities where we're building these relationships. Just like Tracy said, I know people, she knows people that would love to be a part of what we're a part of. Anytime I've wanted to bring anybody to my broadcast department, news anchors from Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7, they've all come, couldn't wait to come. Radio personalities, couldn't wait to come, was wondering why they were never asked. I was able to get Oakland Youth Radio to donate their facilities to us for 2 years for free. They wanted nothing. They said they were always looking forward to doing a partnership with us, but nobody ever came to talk to them. It's very easy, but we have to take it outside of the building, and we have to be willing to talk about them in the same way we talk about other things. I was telling them earlier, I do a radio show in San Francisco where Tracy works. I talk about Oakland School for the Arts on my show so much, my program director asked me, was I being paid? No, I just believe in these kids that much. They revitalized me. I came here to take care of my mom. They revitalized me. They made me remember what the arts is about and how much I loved it. I came here to take care of an elderly person. I had left the entertainment alone. But these kids sparked something new in me, and I believe in them and what they have to offer the world. When they leave out of my class, ask them. I tell them, go out and bless the world with your presence because they have so much to give. And it's up to us arts teachers to nurture that. That's what we've been doing. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Martha, Raiden, did you come back? Okay, Sunari Weaver Anderson. Okay, so Martha, you don't want to speak. That's fine.
Okay. Hi, my name is Sunari. I'm a senior completing my sixth year at OSA. First, I want to thank those of you who advocated for making this meeting more accessible last time around. I think that the level of participation speaks to how important our teachers are, which is what I'm here to stress. I also want to bring up the role of educators in this pandemic. As we have shifted into remote learning, the economic and technological disparity has become very apparent. And that's something I've struggled to overcome, being unable to access my classes or having a weak internet connection. It's the teachers that are helping us stay connected, that are making themselves accessible to us outside of school hours. Remote learning has been a technological challenge for me, but I've been able to seek support and accommodations from my teachers. When students are struggling, it isn't always easy to ask for help, and that takes trust on a student level and dedication on a teacher level. As a student, I can testify to how critical it was to have people I trusted teach and guide me in my most formative years. If you're impressed by how articulate and passionate we are as students, our teachers have a lot to do with that. They help us cultivate our sense of purpose. They come here hired in one position, paid for only one position, but over time, as they make connections with us and build relationships with us, they take on jobs that go unpaid. At OSA, teachers aren't just teachers. They become club advisors, they become mentors, they counsel us. They help us make college connections, and they become leaders in the OSA community. I hope moving forward that you don't forget the history of OSA. As it was told to me, the school was founded to serve the underserved in Oakland and in the greater Bay Area. And by underserved, I mean low-income students of color, like myself, who are passionate about the arts. And as the teacher turnover has happened over the years, we have lost many teachers of color. And I implore you to think about the implications of that, the optics of it even. What happens when students of color read about the diverse utopia OSA claims to be in the mission statement, but then tour and can count on one hand how many teachers look like them? What does it mean that our school faculty has been unable to reflect the diversity we claim to serve, is what I'm trying to say. And if that remains the case, honestly, I'm scared about what OSA will look like in 1 year, in 5 years, and it's important that we maintain community representation within the school, but also on the board. That means teachers and staff included. So simply put, our teachers work very hard for very little, but they're so interwoven into the framework of our arts programs, our clubs, our classrooms, and at this point, our entire remote learning experience, that they need to be put first as the budget is considered. So without a strong community of teachers, I don't think there is an OSA. There is no school culture to be retained. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna Maria.
Hi, my name is Ana Maria Luera. My son is a sixth grade student going into seventh grade in at OSA. I want you to know that I'm still learning about the school. I want us to remember during the pandemic, the people most hard hit by the pandemic are Indigenous and Black folks. And as we talk, and when I came to the school, there was a lot of talk about equity and social justice. Like I said, I'm still learning. And I want you to remember, if you do not have the people most impacted at the table in decision-making, you are not following equity and social justice practices. So that means your teachers of color. That means your art practitioners and teachers there of color at the table in making decisions. Because when I, and we're also community members here, and one of the reasons that my son went to that school is because of the amazing teachers of color that were art practitioners that we know will help my son succeed. And so I just want to remind you that while cities are on fire right now, we are watching your social justice and equity practices. And that also means that if I email my community that works at the school, there has to be transparency in what you do. Because when I emailed my community to find out, are they laying off folks? Are they laying off our art teachers? They hadn't heard from you. And I was like, what? And while we talk about good intentions, and I really love OSA, I love what it has done for my son. You cannot ask for good intentions if you are not transparent. And if you are not following social justice and equity practices, we are looking at you like you may not be trusted with our brown and Black children. And so I wanna hear, and I'm asking you to say this, even though you are making tough decisions, if brown and Black folks that are most impacted by the pandemic are not at the table in decision-making, we are looking at a white gaze. We are looking at you to make decisions for our children and for us. And as a sixth grade parent that wants to be there for a long time and believes in the teachers at this school and wants OSA to succeed, I think that you would do well as to include these practices in your decision making. Remember, this is Oakland. We're the home of the Black Panthers. And we have a long history of social justice. And there are tons of parents here that come from nonprofits, that come from equity practices. And the other thing I wanna say is that comes from amazing art practices that are sending our children to you. When we already know that public schools and the beginning of public schools were never made for our children in the first place. So we are looking for a home for our children, and we chose you. And so I would suggest that the people in the community that we already trust be in those decision-making for this school. And this is very difficult. The other part I wanna say is that it is concerning to me that I'm finding out that the board does not do fundraising and does not have a fundraising plan. And also when the charter was almost not renewed, there were brown and Black students that stood up and spoke at those board meetings. And you asked them to. So we are holding you accountable for what you ask from our children. And so I love OSA, I do. But I'm asking you to be accountable to what you say you are. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily, we have two more. Emily Shea.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a junior in the theater program. So at a 19% in unemployment rate already, this is a really scary time for a lot of people. My dad is an essential worker. And my mom is a teacher. She teaches in elementary school. And not knowing for sure what would happen for my mom's job would be very, very scary for me and my family. I really do feel for these teachers who don't have their offer letters yet, and I really encourage you to communicate with them and be transparent with them about these issues if you aren't already. Like, just being the child of people who are in the same position, it is very difficult for them and their families. Next, I want to note that a very large majority of the student body would be both willing and able to do online concerts and fundraisers. And I really hope that we can find a way to organize this, as that's a great way to fundraise. I also want to say that I think there are probably a lot of grants and other funds we can apply for. My mom funded almost her entire classroom through Donors Choose, as she had so little funding for her classroom to provide adequate instruments to actually educate her students. She got resources so that she could teach her deaf and hard of hearing population and her special needs classes, which she hadn't had that much of a population before. And she adapted being able to use all these grants. And I really think that it's possible for us to do that in the school on a larger scale. And even as individual teachers have classroom and department needs, and I really feel like this is possible because I've seen it and I've been a part of it. My mom applied for Donors Choose, plenty of different types of grants, and it just takes the research. And you just have to know where to start. And if anybody needs to know where to start, absolutely send me an email. And like, I can get my mom's info to help with that. But it is so important. And I've seen it happen. I know it can be done. This school means so much to me. This is the first school I've been able to be at where I can actually come out as a queer student safely without problems from other students. And the first place I've been able to develop my art and learn from amazing teachers, both academic and arts teachers. And I care about it so much. This community is so vibrant and important, and I really want to help it succeed. And I need you to hear us when we say that we're willing to do anything to help the school and its teachers and faculty. And I really feel like that the student abilities aren't being utilized because so many of us would be willing to fundraise. Especially like this summer, a lot of us had internships and other things that now we don't have. So we will have a lot of time this summer to be able to really ramp this up. And I really encourage us all to organize, particularly the board leaders and other admin leaders, to really help us organize with this, because I think that we could, obviously we won't be able to do it on the same scale as usual with all of our different things that have been canceled due to COVID-19, but I really feel like it could be a really big help, especially in making sure that our teachers can come back. Thank you.
Thank you. David Smith.
All right. For those that don't know me, I'm David Smith. I'm the Director of Technology at OSA. I've been here since March of 2003. And as nervous as I am to speak to 145 people, I felt that it was important for me to get out of my comfort zone and just speak to this meeting. I also acknowledge that I'm a white male speaking, but I want to express some thoughts I have about my experience at OSA. We are in an extremely challenging situation. It is unprecedented, is the only word I keep trying to keep coming up with. And there's been many times at OSA when I've been there that we've had some pretty unreal challenges that we at the moment thought we just couldn't get through. It was not going to be possible. I took a few minutes once and wrote down a few of them. One of the smaller ones was we had multiple floods on the campus, not just from a sprinkler, an actual flood. When we were at Alice in the middle of the year, we had to figure out where to move the campus. And we moved into a parking lot at 1800 San Pablo across from the ice rink. That wasn't an actual address. That didn't have a postal address. They said, you're gonna move your school to this location. It was the only space that was available for us at the moment. We built modulars, fences, a tent, and created an art campus on a parking lot. Then, a couple years, I think, into that, they told us we need to move half the campus to San Pablo into the actual street because they were building the low-income housing that is next to the school now. So we had walking signals, stoplights in the middle of campus. And yet we kept going. We kept surviving. We actually built our campus in the Fox while we were running our school. We had an audition pool at one point that was 50 to 60 kids. We were so desperate for students. We couldn't get people, and it was tough because as amazing as we were in the middle of a parking lot with a chain link fence and wire over the fence. And so we had only 50 to 60 kids audition. Last I heard, we were about 900, right? When we get these auditions now. So I just bring these up to just remind people that if we work together, we are a creative force. We will figure this out. If any group on this planet that can figure out how to get through this, we will, okay? Yes, we all need to grow, we all need to learn, we all learn from mistakes, we all make mistakes about choices. But one thing I've known about OSA is if we stay together as a community, we don't splinter, we don't say, you did this and now you did this. If we keep the blame part at bay, doesn't mean we don't learn from lessons. It doesn't mean we have to remember we're a community, we're OSA. So I just wanted to bring that up so that people can have some sense of the history a little bit and maybe put a little bit of a boost in our spirits because it's crazy. I mean, and I should have prefaced, I'm speaking as a parent. I'm not speaking as the director of technology. I'm a parent. Basically my life is OSA. I've got a daughter there that's a valedictorian and I've been working at the school for 17 years. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are on to the student advisor report. Leon's last one.
My last one. Can I share my screen, Romy? Yes, I can. All right, let's do this right here. Share screen, present. Okay. So she's a little hefty, but I'm gonna try to go through her and we can have questions at the end, but please stop me if you have any in the middle of the presentation. So we are in the midst of a presidential transition and I am pleased, very pleased to announce our 2020-2021 leadership team. So starting off, Nora Cesario-Dentz is our student body president. Sarah Schechter for high school vice president and Tessa Chang for middle school vice president. President, so proud of the three of you. Cannot wait to see the work that you guys are going to do next year. So OSA Student Council over the past 3 years had sessions around the pure essence of what it means to be a council. In this conversation, we discussed of the need for passing of the torch with our presidents. So that's including a president extended term. Usually officer terms are in the beginning of August and end around April because May is a full-on election month. But in the spirit of sort of having this
presidential transition. We have the president, like I did this year, support with the dean of students around elections, the student advisor transition, and also just sort of reconstructing what the council looks like, which I talked about in previous meetings around the student government initiative that we hope to grow on as the years to come. Adding on an annual council audit, which I will be going through a council audit for the past 3 years, because this is the first year that we've done it. And then also having a presidential transition meeting. So tomorrow, Nora and myself will be sitting down, having a good old meeting, discussing about the history and the essence of student council. She's been a part of the student council for 2 years now. But just to sort of re-go over everything and have her be prepared as she'll be taking on the position of president. So OSA Student Council 27-2020 audit. So this is 27-2018 school year. We had 16 recorded meetings and we met every Thursday. We did not have a mission established. That's what the NA is for, sorry. And we had the high school student council / middle school student council structure where the two cohorts met separately with separate advisors, separate presidents. I have the roles below. We don't have the record for middle school student council. I'm sorry, but I was on the high school side of things. So I really didn't get the actual recording of what officers were in the middle school student council. So on finances, we had no recorded annual account or budget, but we did have a recorded fundraiser, the Wildfire Benefit Gala. But due to limited accounting and balance, the balance cannot be determined. Student leadership built the structure for this year. Projects were done at a, you know, sort of who got their hands on first. And it wasn't really collaborative this year, but as you see, as you will hear more, that relationship has grown on more. And then NA for an absence policy and exiting of the council, which I'll talk a little bit more in the future audits. Okay, so 2018-2019 school year, we had 18 recorded meetings, two more that year, and our meetings were on Wednesdays. We still didn't really have a mission developed, and we still had the high school student council, middle school student council cohorts, and the positions are there as well. Something that I would like to note is that the elected student body president did take a leave of absence and then resigned from the council, which then I was appointed. And I became the acting student body president. Our annual account starting balance recorded was $408.59. But somehow in the process of the switch to CMSC, it came out to be a $300 deficit. But we had a homecoming fundraiser that covered it. And then at the end of the year, all the money in the accounting went into the annual budget and then was dispersed out. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next year. Student leadership built the structure for this year as well. Student council members joined leadership to have more of an efficient collaboration. The absence policy was not developed. And we sort of didn't have an exiting council sort of procedure around things. But as I go on to talk about this year, we developed one. So this year we had 16 recorded meetings. Our meetings were on Monday. Mission was established by the 18-19 student council, which I talked about at the last meeting. And we combined the councils this year due to structural reasons, but also financial reasons, which I'll talk about in a second. There are the positions on there on the spreadsheet. One thing I do want to press is that we added the leadership representative once again to add on the collaboration between the student leadership class and the student council. So our annual account starting balance recorded was zero, but with six recorded fundraisers that brought in an average of $366, our main revenue and expenses are here for the year. Our annual account ending balance was $865.94. And that money will be rolling into next year for the student council to operate and budget on. The 18-19 student leadership class approved our structure for this year of combining the councils. Student council members joined. Some did drop the class. But once again, it's to the effort of having an efficient collaboration because we have two amazing student leader groups that we want to work together as peers. So that's in the effort of collaboration. Once again, around the absence policy, that policy was adopted this year, and we added the amendments to our bylaws increase the communication of meeting attendance and hold members responsible to the commitment that they made. You join and you run for the student council, you show up for all the meetings, and you be a leader. Once again, on the exiting the council policy, that bylaw was bylaw amended was added to the bylaws in 2019. This year, to get an understanding of how to effectively leave the council, and all members did not go on any probation, leave of absence, or resignation from the council, and I'm so proud about that personally. Okay, continuing on. I'm almost going. I'm chugging through. So, the student body president action plan. So, when I joined, when I joined the board as a student advisor, I want to let people know, and also as Nora is coming on to join the board, I am actually not a board member. What I am is sort of a adjunct person to the board that provides advice from a student's perspective. So once we decided to have that and implement that on the board, we sort of transitioned the president into this self-governing role, meaning that I could open up my meetings to meet with APT, club leaders, just so I can really be more immersed in the community. Because as I said at my previous meeting, that the president usually was a leader through the council, and we needed to take them away and open them up so they can give a honest and authentic report to the board of directors. Continuing on, I had a couple of Let's Talk About Race conferences that I've talked about in my board reports before, BSU assembly preparation, talked about, had a financial audit. Earlier in the year, around February, I spoke to the treasurer, Sarah Schechter, to try to get the ending account at $1,000. We were going to try to push for another fundraiser, but due to COVID, that did not happen. But I'm happy to see where the account ends at right now. Then continuing on, I had some executive director forums with Ms. Stacey Smith, where we met with clubs, had conversation, you know, around where students want to see the school as the school was progressing. In March, I joined on the advisory panel for the APT board to talk about advisory, and also got sort of into the 2020-2021 remote reconstruction for the 2020-2021 student council, a lot of 20s. So for April, continuing on, we had a remote retreat, which was a 2-hour Zoom meeting where the majority of student council sat down. I gave them a survey, and we just went over, I'm going to just quickly go back, these pillars. How many meetings did we have? The mission. What does it look like? The positions, the fundraising, all this to sort of rebuild and build a foundation for the 2020-2021 student council to work off of. This blended into having one-on-one connections with each of the members and saying, how did you feel about the council? What were your thoughts? Any suggestions? Are you going to run for the council next year? Just to really have that one-on-one connect with all the members, just to see where they're going, because I know when you're in a group of 15, it's kind of hard to hear everyone's thoughts. On to that, focusing on the 2020-2021 presidential election, and also some senior end of the year activities closing on in this month. Once again, focusing on the senior end of the year activities, which I've talked about before, the announcement around presidential elections, student council informational sessions that I hosted with a couple of students, election recruitment. Ty can definitely admit to this. I called her multiple times. I was like, please run for VP. But I'm happy to hear that Sarah is going to be the VP and that Ty's taking up leadership in other places. And last but not least, the presidential transition, because Ahani has to go to Dallas, Texas. So that is all. Oh, one last thing is the student body president action plan for next year. So I sat down with Nora literally the second that it was announced that she was the president, and just sort of got her brains already working on just some things that she's thinking about in terms of working on the council. So that's building a strong leadership team and drafting the 2020-21 budget, working with the board of directors. I know that on the agenda, you guys are going to talk about the strategic plan and the committees. She's interested in joining that, revising what it looks like to do board reports, and creating forms before and after the meetings specifically for students so they can really get in tune in of what's going on with meetings, because this meeting is going to almost 9 o'clock. And, you know, in a regular day of school, they would probably have to go do homework. So the student body president would be ensuring to pass on information that happens at the board meetings, and working with clubs, connecting with club leaders, and potentially a ASB model. So I don't know if anyone knows, but in some schools in club operations, there's something called an affinity student board. And it's sort of a board that sort of looks over all the clubs in a way. Usually it is the student council, but one thing that I talked to Nora about, and it's just been in conversation with students, I've talked to like Sonari, Weaver Anderson about this, and other student leaders about this idea of all the clubs coming together. To sort of have a board or committee where they talk out ideas and talk about
what the school needs to grow as an entirety from a student's perspective. And last but not least, working with the ED and the admin to support students with post-remote learning operations. So sorry, it was a lot, but I just wanted to throw that at you just so that we can get through this meeting. And let me just say thank you, thank you, thank you, OSA. And I will stop sharing and see if there are any questions.
Well, I just want to say how much I've enjoyed working with you, Leon, and wishing you all the best in your new leadership roles in your new university. And I want to, you know, thank a lot of the clubs have been chaired by seniors this year, and to say good luck to all of you. You know, big shoes to fill, and, you know, it's been a really, I think, a really good year for student leadership at OSA. So, yeah, good luck to you all.
Yeah, I don't have a question, Leon, but a couple observations. It's pretty widely known amongst the board over the last 12 months that the worst slot on the agenda is to follow Leon. And that is a testament to the passion you bring to what you do. It's been an honor to serve with you. I look forward to being able to see you in person soon. I don't know exactly when you're heading to Texas, but I'm so glad that this school created a place where you could follow your dreams and continue to follow them on to college. And as a guy who's a West Coast guy who spent 6 years in Plano, Texas, I don't have a ton of advice for you other than maybe go visit Austin when you can.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's been an honor.
Thank you. And may I just also add the biggest thing that I had to say that I really enjoyed. I've done many things, many projects as the president. I've enjoyed this position. But I think the biggest thing that I've enjoyed this year is working with the board, especially on the charter, and being an actual person. I have revised, not necessarily written, but I have revised sections on the student position in the charter. So I can say that I'm a student that has written my charter school's charter or had a piece in it. So thank you, thank you, and thank you.
You certainly can claim that, Leon. We'll back you up. And now I believe you have a nomination for the 2021 Student Advisor to the Board.
Yes, I do. I would like to nominate Nora Cesario-Dentz for the 2020-2021 Student Advisor for the OSA Board of Directors.
Nora, is Nora here?
Yes, I'm here.
Nora, would you like to say anything? And then we'll take public comment.
Yeah, I really would just love to get students more involved in the board and knowing about what's happening in the board and really just being a voice for them. And I think I could really do that with this position.
Great. Any public comments? I guess you should put your name in the chat if you have a public comment about the nomination of Nora to the OSA board. Really nice things about you being perfect and wonderful, and I don't think anyone is going to say anything. So board discussion and vote. Nora, I'm excited to have you. I think it'll be wonderful. And I love the seamless transition from one student to another.
And even though nobody made public comment, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of praises coming through on the chat, and I'm really looking forward to working with you as well.
I would like to say something, because I think I get lost in the chat.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Tracy, again, I just wanted to give my commentary to both Nora and Leon. First to you, Leon, as someone coming from OSA, I just want to congratulate you for your natural ability as a leader. I know I've only seen you like 4 times over these meetings, but it is such an assurance that there are children coming from OSA who still have OSA students, admin, parents, and teachers best interests. So I thank you for your charisma, your leadership, your clarity, and just your presence. So I feel more assured that there are kids of color coming from Oakland School for the Arts that have the leadership potential that we've seen over these generations, and it's still growing from this school and from the families that nurtured it. To you, Nora, I welcome you to this leadership role. Being a student leader in high school is not fun, but it is still rewarding. And I think that if you possess the passion that I know Leon has expressed in announcing you to this position, then I wish you all the best of luck. Take each day as a learning, each day as a lesson. Every day is not going to be easy. Every day is not going to be hard, but learn from the people that are amongst you and ask the questions that you need from the people that you may not know. So thank you to you both for your awesome leadership. I'm going to shut up now.
Thank you, Tracy. Paulina Gonzalez had a comment, had a public comment.
Hi, I just wanted to say that, I just wanted to thank Leon for his leadership as a student board member and just a leader within the school. It's been a real pleasure to work with you, Leon, and to through the charter renewal and to really have your voice as a student and as a young person and as a representative of the student body at OSA, and to get to know you through that process. And I wish you the best of luck as you pursue your studies. And as you, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of you and from you as you become a leader in this world. And so anything you need, please reach out. And I know I speak from, for the APT board, as I say, how much we've enjoyed working with you and really have taken leadership from you. In this process throughout the school year. So thank you. Nora, we look forward to working with you. Congratulations on your appointment to the board. And we look forward to working with you through the next school year. We really find it to be really important to have a student voice on the executive board of OSA. And so we look forward to continuing that into the future. So thank you to both of you.
Justin Ouellette had public comment.
Hi there, still outside. I just want to say it's been an absolute pleasure to see you grow into the person you are, Leon Jones. It's just mesmerizing, and I look forward to seeing what you do post OSA and being the leader that we know you are, and that you're going to continue to thrive and for how much you help others. It's sometimes I forget that you're a student. I need to say that out loud. And then Nora, I know we don't personally know each other, but I look forward to seeing what you do and what you learn from this new role. And I trust that with the nomination of Leon, that you're gonna do such great things. So thank you so much.
Okay, that concludes public comment, board discussion. We kind of dabbled in. Any additional? Oh, Leon, go ahead.
Yes, so once the vote happens, I just want to know, for President's sake, she will be speaking on the rest of the for the agenda, and I will now become an audience member, correct?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Is there something you want to say before that happens?
I just want to.
No, he wants to talk exactly. After.
I really, really, really do love the board and really just want to say I really enjoyed my time here. I am so ready. I don't know if you guys know this, but Dallas SMU has they allow student members on their board. So I can be like, oh yeah, I was on the board at my high school. So definitely let me on your board. Right. Just want to say that.
We love you and we will all write you a letter of recommendation to be on that board if you need it. Okay, I have to take a roll call.
I think
we
need a motion in a second, at least.
Yes,
I would like to, Nora, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name, but I nominate you to join the board.
This is Dwayne, I'll second.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a vote. Adrian Barnes.
Hi.
Mike Barr.
Yes.
Steve Borg.
Yes.
Elise Darwish, yes. Jonathan Dharmapalan.
Yes.
Wei-Ling Huber.
Yes.
Melissa Mitrovich.
Yes.
Josefina Alvarado-Mena.
Yes.
Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
And it is approved and unanimous. And welcome, Nora. Our next meeting is June 11th. We won't need to have a student report, but if you'd like to have one, we're happy to have one. Not required. Thank you.
Thank you. Sounds good.
All right, we now have consent agenda. So we have the minutes of the 5/14/20 meeting and a resolution to update signatures on the bank account. Is there anyone who would like to discuss either of those?
I just a couple things, Elise. The minutes, I think, had a misspelling of Dr. Diane Wood's name in the structure of agenda topic. It looked like just a typo. So with the correction of Diane Wood's first name, I'm fine with the minutes. I just want to clarify who, if somebody could weigh in, who I'm not sure who the current signers are. I believe it's Stacy, myself, and Kimberly on the bank accounts. Would you like clarification on that?
No, Lori is on the bank account, you, Elise, and Stacy.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying.
Elise, I have a note for minutes. I think we could add Romy Douglas's last name.
We should probably add her last name. Yes. Thank you. So two changes. Any other amendments? Okay. Can I have a motion?
Wait, Elise, I have an amendment to the minutes.
Sorry, Josefina.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just looking at structure of agenda items. So, okay, yeah. So I specifically requested that the committee rules and procedures and agendas be put on the agenda for the next board meeting at the last board meeting. So I think that should be specifically referenced in the minutes.
Okay, Romy, did you, I think you got that. Okay, so... So we have three amendments. One, that it's cite that it was requested at the next meeting, Romy's last name, and then Diane's spelling correction. Any other changes? Okay, can I have a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, I need to take a roll call vote. Melissa Mitrovich?
Aye.
Josefina Alvarado Mena?
Aye.
Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Dwayne Walton?
Yes.
Wei-Ling Huber?
Yes.
Jonathan Dharmapalan?
Yes.
Lee Starwish? Yes. Steve Borg?
Yes.
Mike Barr?
Yes.
Adrian Barnes.
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes. Strategic plan follow-up. This is a quick one. Instead of asking you to email me, because I only got one email about which strategic plan committee you want to be on, I have assigned you. And so now you have to tell me if that is not the committee you want to be on. So on equity, I have Diane, myself, Wei-Ling, Dwayne, and then Leon was on it. So Nora, are you interested, or do you want to think about which pillar or learn about the strategic plan before we assign you?
I'd like to learn about the strategic plan.
Okay. Under sustainability, I had Josefina, Mike, Adrian, and Steve. So sustainability is fundraising, financial, real estate. Just email me if that's not what you want. Academics, I had Jason, Melissa, and Jonathan. And then art, I had Carol and myself, which really brings up our need to have more arts board members, which might be a place for an alum also. Okay, so if you have different thoughts, please email this. Email me.
So, Elise, my only... Go ahead, Josefina.
Yeah, I was just going to say that on the equity committee, I think there needs to be some Latina representation. So I would like to serve on that one and the sustainability committee. I volunteer for both.
Okay, great.
And Elise, I just wanted to clarify sort of like next steps around that. And I know we've got at least three board members whose terms technically expire June 30th. And I frankly don't know where everybody's, you know, landed in terms of re-upping. So I just, something to think about as we plan out the next steps.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, Elise, I have a question. Typically the strategic plan is driven by the administration. So each of these committees will have the administrative leadership and we will.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm just trying to get the board sorted out. Great. I had in my mind kind of a plan around the equity pillar, but it's getting, I'm running into some challenges. And so we may have to change the strategy.
And do these committees also include other stakeholders? Or is it just board and administration?
Yeah, this is just, I want to make sure the board is dispersed among these committees.
Yep.
So this is just making sure everybody's on one for the board. That's all it is. It's not much just to go on.
Yep, got it. Thank you.
Okay, remote learning update. Mr. Oz and Ms. Sherman-Colt, thank you for staying on with us.
Absolutely. Well, good evening, everyone. Here we are at OSA. Well, we wish we were in this building at OSA. we'll go to the second slide. My name is Lisa Sherman-Colt, and I recently stepped in as Executive Director of OSA. I'm excited to join this wonderful family. There's a lot of love in this community, and this was so apparent in the many conversations that I've had in the past few weeks, and the comments that I've heard tonight from all members of our community. I've had conversations with board members, with parents, with teachers, with staff and administrators and students. I met with the middle school group, the 9th through 11th grade, and the seniors. Boy, the seniors had a lot of wonderful advice. And I attended recitals and performances through Zoom. This was important for me to do. Next slide, please. The meetings were held for a purpose, hearing people's stories. People shared their backgrounds and explained how they landed at OSA. They shared success stories at the school, and they shared comments and suggestions, just like we did this evening. Yes. These meetings have helped to establish relationships and build partnerships. And most importantly, I've had deeper level conversations around the essence, the purpose, and the infrastructure of this wonderful school. Next slide, please. I collected the notes taken from these conversations, reviewed the data, and began to compile this data. Our teachers met in teams. I asked each department to share a vision with outcomes of what they would like to accomplish for next year. The leadership team shared their roles and responsibilities and shared suggestions on strengthening the infrastructure of the school. Why did I do this? This was a way to establish relationships, collaborate, and collect information that was used as data to make informed, data-driven decision-making. Next slide, please. We have our work cut out for us. We're in a challenging time, facing a health crisis with a pandemic and a budget crisis. As your new executive director, I feel it's time to bring the community together. We need to unite as one for the common cause of OSA. Next slide. I believe in arts education and how we are motivating and inspiring the next generation of leaders. I believe in our students and staff. I believe in the OSA mission. I believe we can come together as an arts education community to support our young people, the school programming, its teachers, administration, staff, parents, families, and community. Next slide. my vision, using data to drive strategic school decision-making, support the Office of Advancement to ensure fiscal growth and sustainability, design a strategic plan that aligns with the board's pillars and includes a stakeholder's engagement, and to unite the community in these unforeseen times. Next slide. You're invited. Please join me and the leadership team for a State of the School address on June 15th at 5 o'clock. We will be sharing information on our planning for the coming school year. I will be sharing outcomes of the meetings held with different stakeholders. We will also collect the messages in tonight's board meetings chat so that we can incorporate answering as many of the questions and suggestions that people are asking. Every member of the leadership team will be presenting, so we will cover a lot of ground. We will be sharing different ways that our school community can volunteer to support the school. And we look forward to building relationships and working together as we unite as one to make OSA the very, very best it can be. Next slide. So a lot of questions have been asked about what's happening in the fall. And I've made a very strong recommendation to begin with remote learning for next semester, the first semester of next school year. And I want to explain the rationale. There's been a lot of feedback from surveys, conversations with school communities, staff and students, and there's a huge concern about stepping back into the physical OSA building. I've been a part of conversations at the charter school offices, district offices, and state level offices with regards to guidelines to reopen schools in the fall. I've had endless conversations with heads of schools throughout the country. The CSUs are utilizing remote learning for the first semester of the school year. Last week, Mr. Oz, your wonderful principal, was on a 2-hour call with the state superintendent that we thought was going to be giving us guidance on next steps and how to reopen. However, they were just asking for ideas. Yesterday, I was on a call with the charter school organization. There's still no decision being made. This morning in the San Francisco Chronicle, there's an article by Jill Tucker. Schools are planning for an uncertain future. This pinpoints the cost factors attached to reopening schools, the purchasing of masks and gloves for all students and employees, the additional costs of cleaning and sanitizing the physical building, every door handle, etc. We also would be taking the temperatures of every person walking through the door and entering the school. This article painted a really real picture, and there's a cost factor to all of this. The state just released a huge budget cut to education. There's been no notice of additional funding dollars for schools regarding the additional expense of reopening. My concern is for the health, safety, and welfare of our community. I do not want to put anyone at risk. Due to this, I'm making a strong recommendation to hold remote teaching and learning for the first semester of the 2020-2021 school year. If by chance we receive notification from the state regarding a safe way to reopen that has supports built into the plan, then we will review the situation at the time that this happens. For purposes of supporting our teachers and planning, we wanted to share this information so that they could begin to work collaboratively and have the summer to plan. Schools that are not doing this could be waiting until a week before school starts to roll out a distance learning plan. A survey was sent to the staff that they then completed. Many creative, thoughtful ideas were shared around distance learning. This is a first step in moving forward to developing a thoughtful strategic plan. We can then compile these ideas as a starting point to refer to as we begin to plan the coming year. Having said that, I want to turn things over to Mr. Oz, who is then going to share with you through the closure of the school year and moving forward. Mr. Oz.
Thank you, Lisa. And I promise you guys, I won't take too long. It's late. And I appreciate the 128 of you guys that are still here. So thank you for being with us. I'm going to give you a quick update of where we're at for this current school year. It'll be more brief than the previous ones because you guys have already got lots of information. Then I want to share with you some of the stuff we're doing looking into next year. But first, I just need to give a huge thank you. And I actually wish I would have changed one of these words here. My thoughts are swirling, as you might imagine, really quickly right now, hearing all these comments and working with, you know, on a 14-hour day. And just the love and energy I'm hearing from you all. And I've been at the school for 14 years and care about it more than you guys can imagine. So I wish I would have changed this word team to family. And I want to thank this OSA family for everything that we've been able to do together in these past few months. We have never been through something like this. David Smith, you just encapsulate the spirit of OSA so beautifully in the way that you describe the challenges that we've shared together. But we haven't been through something like this. Tracy Thomas, as you come in from the outside now as a graduate from many years ago, I love your energy and enthusiasm. And that's why I want this word team to say family, because it is not just the people that are in the building and currently employed by OSA, but a much bigger picture here. So please forgive me for being sappy, but I mean it. And I love you guys. And this we're just so fortunate to have this community. So closing out this school year, we're wrapping up finals right now. We're at the end of week one of a 2-week final plan. Things are going well. Students are taking finals. All has fortunately gone according to plan. We got graduation and promotion ceremonies being planned for June 4th. They're going to be pre-recorded, but they're going to be complemented by a beautiful website put together by Ms. Schultz. And we're doing our best to put as much OSA flair on these ceremonies as we possibly can. Closing up grade books, trying to get everything in place so our teachers can enjoy some much deserved time off after June 5th. Picking up belongings. This is much more complicated than it has ever been before, but we need very detailed plans on how to get teachers and students in the building without putting anybody at risk. Student supports need to establish what they will be doing throughout the summer. The need for student support does not end on June 4th, and we're well aware, and our commitment to our community is to continue supporting students how we can. And considering the shelter in place, the needs have shifted. And so we're analyzing what we can do to keep our students in most need fully supported throughout the summer. Engaging new families. This is a big concern of mine. When we talk about budget, which is really important for all the reasons stated, we need enrollment to be high. Our primary source of income is based on the number of students that are in our building. We have 150 to 200 new families come to our community every year. Imagine joining a new school in these circumstances. So I'm trying to think from their perspective what it would feel like. And so we're organizing town halls and gatherings to get the new families to feel as connected to Oakland School for the Arts as they can, well in advance to what would typically be, you know, our orientations in August. So our first one, I think, is June 15th. I forget the exact date, but thereabouts. We're continuing this enrollment push to make sure that we hit 815, as our budget has never depended on it more than it does right now. And we're beginning the design of the remote learning plan for the fall. So I'm going to get into some more detail on the remote learning plan. It's going to look different than what we've been doing. What we did right now was responded to a crisis with no time to plan and pulled it off. And for that, I commend the team. I commend the family. We did this. If we are to continue doing what we're doing, the teachers will not be able to sustain that workload, and the students will also very likely not be able to achieve what we want them to achieve. So we need to evolve from this crisis reaction mode into actually putting together a really thoughtful design. I'm not going to get into too much detail of what that design is because it would be premature to do so. We need stakeholders involved. We need all the different representation involved in this process. I have ideas, but I am just one person with ideas, and I want to make sure that this design team is bringing forth all different angles. So a design team with diversity as a priority is being established. We want representatives from our arts faculty, our academic faculty, our middle school, our high school, the student support team, special education, students, parents, and our COSATS bargaining team. If we were to have any of these categories missing, we wouldn't have a complete team. And now we got a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right? So we have a challenge here where we need to make sure we can stay efficient and get all this representation. And I have a list of people that have already volunteered their summertime, a lot of our employees. And I though this work's going to be hard, it's actually in certain ways going to be enjoyable because we got a lot of problem solvers, a lot of solution-oriented people who I think are going to actually somewhat enjoy putting their heads together and designing something that we have not yet been in a situation to have to design. So data is going to be collected from the surveys of the teachers, the students and family surveys are going out next week, and it will all be incorporated into the design plan. A timeline and process for planning will be discussed tomorrow with COSATS, though the goal that I'd like to present tomorrow is to try to have this done by June 30th. The reason I have this date stuck in my head is we need to provide our teachers with as much time to plan based on what the design looks like. And if we are to go far beyond June 30th, we're getting into like less than a month before the next school year starts, which I don't think is fair for our teachers. And I, the word fair is probably not appropriate because all of what we're dealing with is unfair in so many ways. But we need to make sure we have a timeline that can support our teachers as much as we can. So I know that's a mouthful. I'm going to stop sharing and look at you all and see if you have any questions from the board.
Sorry, so we'll first have public comment on the presentation and then board discussion. And I guess that's it because there's no vote. So public comment, we have so far one, Paulina.
Hi, thank you for those presentations. Really appreciate all the hard work going into making sure that not only our students are safe, but that I know how hard everybody worked when this emergency happened, and really appreciate, Mr. Oz, your presentation and all the hard work all the teachers have been doing and that you have been doing to make sure that our students are supported during this time. I know I spoke about that last time in terms of what that means for my kid who has a disability. I just want to ask that, you know, we have affinity groups that both the parents of students of color and then the parents of students with disabilities who have worked really hard on equity issues throughout the last few years at the school. And who, as one of the parents spoke earlier, who talked about how these parents and these students spoke at the charter renewal and were asked to speak and how powerful this was, but also about what that meant to speak on the issues when we've really at times really struggled, I've really struggled with my own kid, I should speak for myself, you know, on some of these issues at the school. And so I think that we have a lot of experience and expertise on these issues to bring both to the design that you're talking about, Mr. Oz, but also on the equity task force. And as affinity groups named in the charter should be involved in both. So I'd like to ask and see if the board can speak to that, or Mr. Oz, if you can speak to that. I think there's more than enough parents who would be willing to offer their expertise on both task force. So I'll leave it at that and close out my comment. Thank you.
Jenny Hicks.
Thank you so much. I apologize if there's any background noise. My neighbors are having a 8th grade graduation celebration, which is really but I just wanted to take a moment and thank you all, the teachers, the board, everybody, for the hard work you've been doing. I was brand new to OSA. I have a 6th grader who entered and a 10th grader who entered at the same time. And this experience has been challenging, but you know, the support of the teachers and the structure has been great. I just wanted to make a real quick comment. I know you guys are going to get some feedback from parents, but I just wanted to congratulate you. I just really appreciate the schedule for the finals. My kids found it very helpful. They really enjoyed actually having a 2-hour block. They kind of wish that that would have been the norm. It allowed them to interact with teachers longer, get support, work on things. So my kids were like, if you go to the board meeting tonight, please say that out loud and let everyone know that this schedule was really, it worked for them more. They were able to gauge, they got more done. And then the other thing was just as you guys are planning and thinking about how you're going to roll this out, if you haven't already thought about including parents in a virtual training. So I really was hoping, you know, that one of the things that we might consider is having like a mandatory training for parents to come to learn how to use the virtual platform and learn how to walk through Google Classroom to best support their kids. Because I know that was the hardest part, was my kids trying to figure out how to get into Google Classroom afterwards and look at the assignments. But I think if I, as a parent, would have went to like an orientation and sat through it, I would have better be fit to support them. So just as you're rolling that out and you were thinking about welcoming the new students during this pandemic, I think that's the best thing, is get all the parents online and get them started to get trained on how to use it as well. And bigger class blocks for the kids. All right, I'm complete. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad Erickson.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lisa and Mike, for your presentations. I just want to really emphasize that with the strategic planning, it's an opportunity to involve all stakeholders from the onset, from the, you know, the planning of how we're going to plan it part. There's a lot of us that have years of experience with this, would be willing to step in and help. I'm one of them, as speaking as me as a parent and me as a co-president of the APT. I would love to help in any way I can. So feel free to call on me, and again, you know, invite the stakeholders broadly. Thanks, that's all.
Thank you. Matt Lipner.
Good evening, I'm Matt Lipner. I am the parent of a 10th grader in vocal music. First, I wanna say specifically thank you, Stacey Smith, thank you from we set foot at OSA at our pre-sixth grade tour. You were present, you were available, you were professional, and I am beyond grateful and always will be for your kindness, your compassion, your leadership, and your vision. On that note, and I've said this in previous calls, Stacy, Mike, and Lisa, you all have kept us ahead of the game, ahead of the curve. In terms of all of this remote learning, OSA has been way, way out in front. I work with four different school districts currently, and none of them have come close to matching the consistency and the effort. And no, it has not been without hiccups, I get it, but overall, I am so grateful and appreciative. Lastly, I really, really, really hope that you all consider putting the arts and the emphases at an equal in regards to next year's learning schedule, so that it's been wonderful having for my daughter to have vocal once a week, but the 2-hour blocks twice a week are really great. If it's going to be that, I implore you to find a way to have an equitable and consistent amount for the arts, even though it's going to be incredibly challenging remotely. And that's all. Thank you again. You all have done a stellar job, and I look forward to it continuing to be successful.
Thank you. Karen Morfin.
Hi, everyone. I first want to start by saying that Mr. Oz and the team has done an incredible job. And I don't, many of the parents here may not know, but these people have actually been going around delivering food to the people that are in need, picking up the, you know, meals that were provided by OSD and actually hand delivering these to students in the school. They have not bragged about it. They have not said it to you all. So I want to make sure that you all know that while we were sitting here helping our kids, they were taking care of those that did not have their parents with them, making sure that they were fed. They have gone above and beyond. So having said that, I also want to give a little recommendation for next fall. I think the academics instruction online has, at least for the sixth grader that I have, and for the middle school grade level, that's what I'm experiencing, the academics were pretty, I would say, successful for as long as, you know, we as parents were communicative and the kids were on task. I think it can continue on to next fall. However, the arts and the emphasis were really down during this remote learning. And I think as we move forward to next year, and as we go into the unknown as to how long we're gonna be affected by this COVID, and if we're gonna have a second wave of it or a third, we don't know. We really need to plan that. I mean, as we go into more equitable platform, and as we have more people that are not able to offer private lessons or Zoom meetings privately, are the disparity of knowledge and talent from our kids that are not able to afford these private lessons, it's just going to go greater. So when we actually come back to OSA, but we're going to not only going to be dealing with kids coming without an audition, but we're going to be dealing with the kids that are already in OSA and that are falling behind.
I mean, if there's any way that we can really try to keep the arts going for our kids, there are thousands of resources outside that unfortunately a lot of our kids can't afford. Yes, there are, you know, private lessons via Zoom. There are complete camps via Zoom. So if other people can do it, I think we can also pull it off somehow. And I just want you to explore those
options. Thank you. Denise Doyle.
Hi, there I am. Hi there.
Hi.
I have an 11th grader, finishing 11th grader in instrumental music. And again, I just want to echo and thank you, other parents who spoke. First of all, I do want to give a big shout out also to Mike Oz for him personally addressing some challenges we were having with teachers and et cetera. And also Wendy Snyder and Katie Zog for going out of their way to help families who have been struggling financially. I myself have been struggling financially as an artist and an independent arts teacher in the Bay Area right now, and our entire performing arts community is really struggling right now. And I just personally want to thank Wendy and Katie Zog for going door to door and delivering Chromebooks to many students who didn't have them and didn't have access to reliable computers at home. And on that note, for performing arts, for instrumental music students in particular who have equity issues regarding finances, I want to make sure that the board and the school address that students need audio equipment, they need proper connections, they need to be able to record and connect all of these wonderful performances that you fall, students need, you know, to have access to all of this, these tech upgrades and this equipment that makes access to performing together that much easier. So I just wanted to add that. And the arts definitely need support. Every art class needs support. And our big band is the only group that met via Zoom. And all of our other arts classes did not meet, or did not meet regularly other than just a quick check-in, because that, you know, that just didn't happen. So I just wanted to address that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Jordan Holly.
Hi, everyone. I apologize if there's noise in the background. But my name is Jordan Holly. I'm an alumni from the class of 2013. Was in the instrumental and the vocal music department during my time there. The first thing I just wanted to say is thank you to everyone for being here. Thank you for staying so late and for hearing everyone's comments, for adding public comment into each and every agenda item. I think that it's very important that everybody is able to speak when they feel like they need to speak. Thank you for hearing us and for listening. It's just really, really important. And I see that the board is actively trying to keep us all engaged and keep us aware of what's going on. And they're fixing as we go along and as we are participating in these events. So please keep coming out. The fact that there's 115 people and we fought to have a space where 115 people could come and more, the board is actively trying. So I appreciate you guys. I appreciate everyone here. Along with that, I wanted to say there are a few things that everyone has mentioned tonight about creating teams and creating organizations and groups that can really benefit and support OSA. What I haven't seen a lot of is that alumni are included. And I don't think that's anyone's fault. I think that alumni are just now starting to kind of bring themselves back into OSA's realm of what's going on. I think it's really important that we keep alumni in the loop and that we actually invite them to be a part and be members on these boards, be members on these teams, even in remote learning, because there are a lot of alumni that have a network of people that are doing the same things. Like I can say for myself, as you guys are planning this design team for your fall 2020 start, there are a lot of people, including myself, who are full-time musicians, who are people that are actively working in the field as these artists and coming up with new ways to like involve the arts online and live stream. So we're coming up with new things. We would love to be a part of those conversations and help you guys. And that's not just the only place. I think that there are a lot of alumni that have a lot of different fields and a lot of different passions, a lot of different opportunities that they can really jump in and step up and help, including in fundraising, in the arts. And
I think that it's time that we step up and we're showing you that we want to be a part. So I hope that you really take that opportunity and allow us to be a part. So that way we can give back to the community that really gave us a lot more than you would ever know. And just like Mr. Smith spoke about with, there were so many things we went through at OSA, that most people will have never had to experience. And a lot of us, a lot of students of color, a lot of people that really felt like they wouldn't fit in at a normal school came to OSA and found a home there. That is our second home, and it's still my second home to this day. So I know that I'm willing to come in. I know that Tracy's willing to come in. There is an alumni association that we are like putting together and a board that is really trying to come in and like give you everything you need and even more than that. So I really ask that you guys just like take that, and I hope that it's something that can really benefit OSA and create a lot of change. Thank you guys for the opportunity and have a good night.
Thank you, Jordan. I think we have gotten everyone's, all the public comments. I will answer the question around the strategic plan.
I believe Paola wanted to speak.
Oh, great. Because I was just going to reference that I'd reached out to her.
Hello. I'm trying to be seen. Ms. Smith, these words are for you. Thank you so much for making me feel welcome as a parent from day one. I have a 10th grader, Joaquin Amaru, and you made me feel welcome, made me feel at home at OSA, and then how you lifted my leadership in the board, and how you opened the doors to your office and bonded on our equity work and with CAVA. I will always have in my heart and my mind those wonderful conversations and support and that safe space you provided for us to support each other. And so I will miss you tremendously, and I know you you're going and knowing all the other stuff that you're involved in, including your Toastmasters group. Oh my God. So anyway, so I hope to keep up with you and catch up to you and connect. And yes, thank you so much for what you did for our community, for OSA.
Thank you. I was just going to say that the strategic plan, to answer one of the public comments, is going to include all the stakeholders. I've already reached out to Paula, who is the APT diversity equity person. I've reached out to Kava. I've reached out to Uma. Leon is already on it, and we're going to continue to engage with other stakeholders. So to answer the question, yes, we will be including everyone, because it's all of our plans. Any other public comments? Any other, so board discussion on the remote learning update?
Alicia, a couple quick things. First off, Mike Oz, that's the best cameo of the night.
Your daughter.
The visitor you just had, that was, I'm glad we got to see that. I don't know if you did, but just, I want to clarify something, Lisa. The board the agenda stated that the State of the Union was June 17th. Your slide said June 15th. We may just want to clarify that.
Oh my goodness.
If it's the 15th, we should just change the agenda or note that somewhere. I just want to flag that. And then I want to pick up on something. I forgot the formal name, but I think it was Mama D. We got to remember, as we consider remote learning in the fall, that what works for some families for a couple of months may not work for longer. And we need to be cognizant that not all houses are created equal. Not all people have the same, we know some of the basic needs with Chromebooks and internet, but, the home may not be conducive, living environment may not be a conducive learning environment. You may have multiple kids all sharing a kitchen table while trying to do their work. So I just encourage the staff to think about how we can think about the kids that are less well off and therefore more impacted by a lot of things we've seen. At least I'll share, I was on the Board Call for Education for Change just before this one, and they've actually done a tremendous amount of community outreach. They serve a different demographic community than we do over in the Fruitvale, and I'd be happy to introduce you to Larissa Adams, who's the superintendent there, because they've done some fantastic outreach and have a lot of thoughts that they put in over there. So I'd be happy to make the introduction, but I just want to make sure that staff thinks about that as you're building this plan.
Thank you.
Other board discussion or comments?
So this is Wei-Ling. I really want to applaud Lisa for taking the bull by the horn and just deciding that we're going to make a decision here. And it really makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And I really agree with what Mike said about, you know, this gives us the time to really be in communication with the stakeholders in the school. I think that one of the, one of the speakers, Paulina, was talking about the affinity groups and how important it's going to be in touch with them. You know, I'm reflecting on the every other week town halls that that the school has been having with parents and how, you know, over time things change and new ideas come up, and it might be that there will be, you know, small groups of folks with shared interests, you know, such as the parents of students with disabilities who, you know, need to problem solve around issues that come up for, you know, students with a specific set of needs. And, you know, there might be other groups that identify themselves. For the arts programs, I would really urge us to reach out to the amazing volunteer parents who in each emphasis, you know, work with the faculty to put together the shows, to sell the tickets, to, you know, get the kids ready and in place for the performances, as people who might have a lot of insights on how to really improve the arts education via remote learning in the fall. So I'm excited about this plan. Thanks.
Other board comments or questions for Mike or Lisa?
Yeah, I just had a few comments. This is Josefina. I wanted to, again, just really put a pin on the issue of equity and how distance learning impacts families very, very differently, and that there will be disproportionate impact on low-income families, and to consider issues like accessing free and reduced lunch and how that will be facilitated for lower income families in our community. Also wanted to stress the point around mental health resources. And given the huge impact the current shelter in place has had in terms of the loss of social anchors for our young people, and thinking about how the school community supports mental health, both for students and families and also staff, that needs to be a big part of this planning if we're talking about extending, you know, the social isolation as part of the strategy in distance learning. Also, just wanted to flag special ed and, you know, thinking about how we provide the learning supports to students that have learning differences over such an extended amount of time is a huge animal to try to tackle. And I think, you know, there are a lot of people in the community that are willing to lend their support and their best thinking around how to support IEPs and 504 plans in this context over at least the next semester. So I just wanted to flag those specific issues.
So Josefina and I guess Jason, have you seen any districts doing this well? I mean, I work with a lot of districts around English learners and have yet to see many districts really doing a great job with remote support for them.
Yeah, I would really look at CCPA in Oakland Unified. It's a 6th through 12th grade school. It's an OUSD school. And the configuration is very similar to OSA's. And they've done an amazing job at supporting their student community in terms of both the academic supports and the social supports. And so I would be happy to talk with the leadership team or the staff about, you know, what they've done, also make some connections with that particular school community. But that's the one I think that has also been exemplary.
Josefina, if you would.
I'd also add it just in response, at least to your question, in terms of food distribution and in terms of social emotional supports, Castro Valley does have a very robust social emotional support system through its wellness center that it's offering online and through telephonically. In addition to that, the food distribution, not only for low-income students, but also to support homeless McKinney-Vento families as well. So I'd be glad to refer staff or you or anybody who's interested to people who could provide more insight than I could.
Jason and Josefina, I would love if we could do that sooner than later, even if it was just a shared email that you could copy me on to whoever you know in each of those districts. Just I'm having this huge urgency of time right now, and I would love to start forming those relationships before we even assemble the team, if possible.
Yeah, and I would be happy to also, you know, just lend the support of my nonprofit Safe Passages. We do a lot of this school-based support services, mental health, all the way through the food distribution. So I'd be happy to help, you know, with the planning process.
Thank you. And I'm going to send both of you my cell phone number so you can feel free to text anytime too.
So I called out those two, but if there's other board members who know, Adrian, I know you're doing, I know you're doing stuff at your school. So if anyone else, I would just encourage you to send Mike all the resources and love that you have around this. It's a big undertaking. And Mike, I'll probably reach out to your ELD teacher.
Thank you.
Any other board comments or questions? Okay, what time is it? It is 9:37. We are moving on to the preliminary budget presentation and review. So we'll start with CSMC presenting, then we'll have public comment, and then we'll have board discussion. There is not a vote tonight. This is informational. Oh, actually, I'm gonna start. So I have drafted with some input a document about our values and how we're going to use them as we do this budget. And because it is a difficult budget to do, that's not it. I'm going to share my screen with what we had discussed. So I guess I will share it and then we'll go through the CSMC presentation and then we'll have public comment and then we'll have board discussion. So to give everyone I'm just gonna give some silent time for everyone to have a chance to read this.